to stick this up your ass.
Giving it to you hard and sexy. Da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na, da-na. Hi.
I guess we're starting now.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Welcome to Nodcast, episode 287. Don't fuck the snake.
Oh, I was thinking 286, and it's like, oh, no, that was the week I wasn't here.
That was last week,
yeah. And Avery was here. Okay, cool.
You were off having fun at Anthrocon, and who the hell are you anyway?
Fun, in air quotes. I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
Hey, we're all here. So, yes, you have survived Anthrocon.
I have.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a thing.
It was a thing. Actually, I didn't do a whole lot because I flew out very late on Thursday, and I didn't get to the hotel till like 12:30 a.m. early Friday, and I had to come home Sunday. So I flew home like Sunday at like 4 o'clock. So it was a really abbreviated trip for me. But we had really good sales. May have broken our record. So, and last year it was like down a little, and then this year it came up a little. So that's interesting. And I talked to a lot of other people too. They're like, yeah, last year was kind of weird, but man, this has been a great weekend. So I talked to like three or four of my artists like that. So and sounds like it was a good year for everybody.
Pittsburgh came out and saw the furries. And
that's cool. Amazing.
That was crazy.
Like, I didn't see it. I'm not into the parade. But
it was also during vending hours.
Well, they used to come right in front of our table, and now they go through like the middle of the dealer's room to the big central aisle. So they still did that, and so they did a little bit inside, and then they walked outside. So that morning, like Siani and I are walking up to the convention center to go and open a table, and there's all these fucking lights in that underpass where the water is, you remember? And we're like, Jesus, what is all this for? I was like, are they filming something or what's going on? It turns out, so those that haven't been to convention center has this sort of
underpassy thing.
Underpass type way where they have like some LED type lights on this little waterfall thing, and it's very pretty at night and stuff like that. But during the day, it's pretty dark because the sun's out, there's no lights on. So they brought in a shit ton of lights, put them all up there so that you could actually see the suitors. And this is something they worked out with the city. They actually had cops out there. They closed some of the streets, and it was basically like it was like a St. Patrick's Day parade or any official parade. It was
the sanctioned parade.
It was a city sanctioned parade. So Anthrocon's attendance was like just under 6,400 people this year. So they grew again, of course. They grew by 8 or 9%, which is pretty big for a con that size to still be growing at that rate. So it's pretty impressive. So say 6,400 furries, 5,000 people from Pittsburgh came downtown to watch the fursuit parade. So, like, it was funny because over the past few years, we've been there 10 years now, the restaurants have gotten good about predicting we need to order X amount of food and drink and stuff like that because these fucking furries are going to eat and drink fucking everything.
Yep.
They're like locusts.
Yeah, we come in, we just demolish your town. But this year, what they also had to contend with was 5,000 tourists that were down there. So Ben and Jerry's ran out of ice cream, which is a problem because that's all they sell.
Yeah.
Tonic, the bar, ran out of food. And there was a couple of other places that would just run out. So speaking of Tonic, Monday morning, somebody took a picture of the sign that was posted on their door. And it was like, due to an overwhelmingly busy weekend or something like that, Tonic is closed today. And I don't know whether they were just closed on Monday. And I don't know whether they'd just run out of everything or whether it was like, fuck it, we made bank on the weekend, everybody take the day off. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I know Ben and Jerry's was trying to order more ice cream from other area stores, yeah, and get that in.
We need ice cream support. They're overwhelming us. We need more chocolate.
Somebody had problems at City Cafe the next morning, like got turned away for service.
I haven't heard of City.
They weren't, or
was it the cab company? I heard about the cab company.
No, this was like right outside of AC, City Grill, City Cafe, something like
that. Oh, is that the one that's like right outside that hotel there? Like, I don't know.
But basically they got turned away for, I mean, they weren't wearing any paraphernalia. They just got kind of checked out.
I don't know. I hadn't heard of this.
No, me neither.
But, I mean, everyone was using the hashtag, like, LovePGH, was like, Love Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Like, the Pittsburgh, the subreddit or whatever on Reddit was talking about, like, wow, this is cool. And there was furries posting into it saying, thanks for giving us such a great reception this weekend. The parade was cool. And
yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, the Pittsburgh's, like, municipal Facebook page and whatever.
I don't think I've talked about this. I don't know if I talked about this on the show or just with friends, but, like, so we go to all these cons and all these different cities and stuff like that, and a lot of them don't even know we're there because we have some smaller conventions, and some of them it's like, okay, yeah, there's a minor impact. We get, like, for Fiesta, we get the food trucks out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We ate out Five Guys. Was it Pie Five?
Yeah.
We ate out of food 1 year. But, like, no other city that I have seen really embraces their local furry con like Pittsburgh does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they just, they completely welcome us. We're like this fixture in their city now. I mean, you're going to get the occasional one or two assholes, like the cab driver that said they didn't pick up furries. You know, well, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know, we got the backing of the mayor and his chief of staff, and the 5,000 tourists that came down are like these delighted children looking at the big animals and stuff like that. But like Tonic, they always have like specials for us and stuff like that. This year,
some of them.
So Guardian has a copy of the Tonic menu that we brought back for him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not just the drink specials that you might have seen on Twitter. There's some food specials too. There's paw prints printed on both sides of the menu. Well, in addition to that, Tonic put up this big ass banner on the side of their building. It's like Tonic paw symbols, like Tonic paws furries or something. It's like basically Tonic loves furries.
Yeah.
And they went there, and then they sold all their food.
And it's like, the thing is, it's like, Tonic is the bar immediately across the street from the Westin and just down the street from the convention center. So it's right there. Hundreds of furries are going to eat at Tonic regardless, because it's the bar and grill that is right there. They don't really have to go to the effort, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, they spent the money on getting, like, this big-ass banner printed and everything like that, and it just made it even more welcoming.
Oh, and the custom menus and whatever.
Yeah. So it's like that, like, we were already going to give them our money regardless. So the fact that they went the extra step, like, makes me feel that, like, their affection for us is actually genuine.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, people will probably say, oh, they're just...
They like
catering
money.
Or whatever.
Well, yeah, you know what? Like, they like money, and because you give them a lot of money, they like you.
Yeah, and I really like that, you know, that we're helping them out, they're helping us out. But that was just a very positive vibe. Like, right after the con, there was, like it was on fucking NPR, you know, the story about this and stuff like that. I mean, we went national. Like, AnthroCon was trending locally on Twitter, like in Pittsburgh, AnthroCon was trending.
Gotta go down to AnthroCon, see them people in the fursuit. Yeah. You know. And this is an interesting contrast to, you know, we had the discussion about OkaCon a few weeks ago.
That's right, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, AnthroCon brings in a chunk of change.
So it's now up to, I think, $5.1 million.
And that's just tax rev.
No, that's direct monetary impact. I forget exactly how they say it. Yeah, that's not just tax rev. That's like the hotel rooms, the food, everything we buy.
The reason is if it was $5 million in tax rev, though, that means the actual monetary impact would be way higher. But still,
right,
$5 million is a lot of money.
Yeah,
and like, you know, we have, and now, and that's into all the businesses around there. You know, the Ben and Jerry's and Tonic and the Subway and everything else. And then you have the reverse effect where 300 or so furries aren't going to be going to Watonga, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And that's that much money that they brought in is just going to go.
Yeah. Poof. Like we said, Okokon said in our journal, it was like 11% of Watonga's income or something like that.
Yeah. So this whole policy has hurt the local town. I mean,
yeah.
11%.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know if the park would have thought that through. You know, they were just like, ugh, queers. But, you know, we eat at all those restaurants, you know.
And we buy their wine. We buy their cheese.
You know, we buy their half-off steaks that, you know, that one, the other grocery store, not the Alco, had the half-off sale on the meat one year.
And
people went up there and bought a shitload of it, threw it on that grill outside the turkey roost. And,
well, like, Panther had made trips up to Watonga to just go buy cheese and wine.
Yeah.
Just because he's like, oh, that's cool. And now they're just like, oh, well, never mind. You know, and this is one of those, this is the kind of the difference. Like, the city embraces it.
Yeah.
And furries spend a fuckload of money. And then, or a city rejects it, or the venue rejects it, and the city suffers for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean and Pittsburgh is, I know people, you say Pittsburgh, you think, oh, burly steel workers or something like that. You know, Dad, why did you take me to a gay steel mill? You know, that kind of thing. But Pittsburgh is actually a more liberal city now.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they describe the state of Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in the middle.
Yeah.
Politically speaking. So I'm not really surprised that Pittsburgh is a little more open, a little more accepting. Than, you know, small town in the middle of Oklahoma. But it is sad that that happened. But, you know, Oklahoma will keep going. And it's really uplifting to see, like, you know, because, I mean, Anthrocon has a big fucking spotlight on it. You know, because of their relation to the city, because they're the biggest furry con and stuff. So all this is, like...
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's pushing, good news for the fandom.
It's so pushing back... It's pushing back against the negative stereotype that we used to have.
Yeah.
Whereas I actually think the last couple of years I've seen a lot more positive news coverage come out. So it's sort of like things are kind of turning around for the public perception of furry.
Turns out furries aren't that weird after all.
Right.
So I Googled this place, City Cafe, and that's got to be near the hotel, right?
Liberty Avenue, Penn Avenue, yeah, nearish, yeah.
So
it's like two blocks away.
There was a furry complaining. Basically, he and four people walked up to get food, and the owner came out and said they couldn't serve them.
Okay,
that was weird. So I just Googled it to read it, and there's a whole bunch of reviews over many months' times of this guy just, you know, people walk into groups of four or five, and the guide basically tells them go out. They get out. He can't serve them. So it wasn't furries. The guy is just crazy reading the reviews.
It's like a soup Nazi. No soup for you.
I guess so.
No cafe for you.
It's not particularly furry. He's just crazy.
So everyone else is like raking in so much money that their restaurant just closes on Monday because fuck it. We already made all the money. Meanwhile, he's like turning people away because they rub him the wrong way.
Apparently.
You look weird.
Moron.
No soup for you.
Or overwhelmed or whatever. It's like...
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, so this, I believe we maybe discussed this personally, but there was something that I saw on Twitter that I was like, these people are idiots. Okay.
We had this discussion when we went to Pizzarella on Monday.
Right, yeah.
So we had lunch together on Monday and had the discussion. So put it forth.
Okay, so... As you would expect, Kage gives an interview, you know, this year's Anthrocon, because the local media that's invited is all up there. They're covering the parade and stuff like that, you know, and he basically breaks down what furry is all about. And, you know, furry is really just an appreciation of anthropomorphic animals in some form. That's it. Now, everything else we add on to that, you know, I really like the artwork. Other people really like the suits. I really like the writing, you know, things like that. It sort of becomes your own thing based on the person. And these people on Twitter were complaining about, Every time Kage denies the sexual side of the fandom, I just want to vomit. And it's like, yeah, I know Kage and Anthrocon. Anthrocon has gone very, has always kind of trended very PG. You know, yet they have adult stuff in the dealer's room, but they try to keep, like the adult art show is, like, blocked off. It's behind black curtains. You have to show your ID to go there.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And I just think it's really weird to me that, like, you know, obviously I don't have a problem with the sexuality in the fandom. I mean, I embrace it. You know, I enjoy the adult art and the adult stories, and so does my mate and all that. But it's like, if somebody asked me, what's this furry thing about? What is this convention all about? I tell people, well, nowadays I'd say it's the first 30 seconds of the Zootopia trailer is, you know, your elevator pitch for furry. And I say, you know, it's like cartoon animals, like Bugs Bunny. You know, some people get into the big costumes, like mascots. Some of us like the comics and stuff like that. Most people go, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
but I don't go out of my way to be like, and some people have sex in the costumes.
And I wrote this series of stories like 10 years ago about this fox named Trevor. Let me tell you about them.
There's this whole series where my character is fucking Tails. I know he's underage, but that's cool and furry. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you don't do that. Especially in like a fucking public interview where you're being interviewed by the news.
Or NPR or whomever.
It's like, very few people are actually saying that there's no sexuality in furry and that sexuality in furry is bad and needs to go away. That's a tiny minority of people. But what the rational people are not doing is going on the news and saying, oh, by the way, we have all these animal dildos, and, you know, I got into furry because of this comic called ASB that had this amazing orgy scene in issue 5, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, just to see people like, oh, we should always be fucking put, just slap our big furry cock on the table. It's like the first thing you see about furry, big meaty slap. Quick.
It's taking a shack under your own foot, honestly.
You know?
And we kind of discussed the fact that even in furry, like, 75-80% of the content produced is not adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some large percentile of furry art is not adult.
Yeah, it's all YCHs with blurred out genitals. That doesn't count as adult.
That is distressingly prevalent, but not the point here. You know, in anime cons, there's hentai and shit, but that's not anywhere near the majority of it.
Right. You know, I mean, what do you say anime is about? Oh, it's Japanese cartoons. No, it's about a spaceship full of lesbians being tentacle raped by an alien.
Or a dude who's girls that really want his dick.
Right. And then he broke his dick, but not really.
They said it was just his shoulder, but the way he cried, it was totally his dick. But it's like, you know, we basically, you don't put that out there first. You want to get people's interest in the idea, and if they're going to they're going to find out about any sort of sexual aspect in anything.
Right.
In their own time. You don't just go, it's like throwing them in the deep end.
Yeah.
You know, saying, hey, you're vaguely interested in this thing? All right, 18-foot depth. There you go. Hope you can swim.
You go full duck winger.
Oh, you like Star Trek? Yeah. It's Pon Far Night at the Vulcan nightclub.
Yeah. You know.
You just set them down with a couple of guys. You got Gideon. You got duck winger. You throw a couple of Zoush. You know.
Bonk.
Bonk.
Yeah.
You ever seen a twink take two dicks at the same time? You will now.
Yeah. You see how he has no internal organs?
He's just...
The furries have degrees in fox biology.
Yes.
Well, it's a tube.
Yeah.
A warm, slick tube.
Yeah. So, what was the other thing they were saying? I'm going to fuck two guys at once, just put my dick all the way through one so it comes out his mouth and goes into the anus of the next one in the chain.
So, yeah, I mean,
that makes people like that... Foxes elaborate strokers, basically.
Yes, yeah. they squeak when you squeeze them.
The people that complain about that don't have the perspective that I think they need, that, yes, furry has its sexual aspects, because we're human. Sex is part of human nature. But when you're pitching something to somebody as a new thing or a new concept, you don't go
balls deep.
Yes, yeah, you don't go balls deep. And yeah, saying it's about the comics, saying it's about the art and the stories. There's a lot of art and stories that isn't adult. And people don't necessarily have to know about your fetishes.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's like that I don't get. It's like, yeah, I can understand people being like, oh, should I tell my parents I'm a furry? And
no.
My feeling on that is that kind of no, because it is still sort of misunderstood. But the people that I don't get are like, should I tell my parents I'm a diaper fur? It's the same as saying, should I tell my parents I'm a pet? You know? I'm a sub. I like being pissed on. I like pissing in girls' mouths.
Put me in a vacuum
mouths.
Bed and
you know, it's
give me
like
a ball gag.
No, mom doesn't need to know that. You know, it's a really dumb point of view. It's like, and it's not that I'm saying like sex is like has to be secret or is a sacred private thing or anything
no,
like
but
that.
There's a time and a fucking place in
right.
telling your parents.
It's common
your
fucking sense. And it's weird that like people actually rail against this. Like these tweets I was seeing are like, no, we should talk about the sex. Like,
no, we shouldn't.
Fucking dumbass.
It's but, like, or we're putting forth this image of, you know, positivity and, you know, creativity that doesn't need to have giant three-story dick girls
mm-hmm.
dominating this, any good we could do. Because if you give anybody an angle for there to be a scandal, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
You know, and God, I mean, it doesn't even have to, it can be fucking made up and somebody will write a clickbaity article that's bullshit about it. E.g., like, the Warcraft movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, there was an article on the clickbait successor to the clickbait WoW Insider that was like, does Blizzard have a problem with women in the Warcraft movie? Have you seen the footage? No. Then shut the fuck up.
Wait, there's
Nazi
no
was retweeting stuff about it, and basically it was this conjecture-y, clickbaity article.
Uh-huh.
The movie is about Warcraft, the original game,
okay.
The orcish invasion of Azeroth, and the shit heap that happened to humanity because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's true. There weren't a lot of female characters in the original Warcraft game.
Oh, man, I want to see some of them three-titted orc bitches.
Women have two tits. You're very disappointed. Maybe if there was a two-headed ogre female, maybe they'd have three tits.
Yeah, they had like one in the middle.
Yeah. But anyways, it's like, you know, people will find an angle to bitch about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving out the, you know, don't give them free ammunition.
Basically, don't make it easy.
Yeah.
Six simple ways you can be offended by the Warcraft movie.
These shoulders don't weigh 50 pounds apiece.
Have you seen the corrected
one? Yes, I have seen that one. That was funny.
Did you see the BC recolored one?
Oh,
green cauldrons, red chest piece. Looked like a fucking clown shoes.
Well, he was leveling in Burning Crusade.
Yes.
Shit is fucking clown shoes, yo.
It was like they were complaining about like the armor in WoW in that article, and I'm like, there hasn't been revealing armor since fucking vanilla. Really.
Pieces, but yeah.
There's like midriff showing, and which is stupid because there was a midriff showing in like Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, this tier piece has exposed midriff, and I'm on fucking Northrend. But you know,
it's fucking gold.
You look at the tier gear. Currently, it looks like a shit heap, but everybody's fully covered.
No, druid females aren't.
Really?
Yeah.
Druid looks like shit, though.
Yeah.
But you're gonna be animals all the time anyway.
I was gonna say, I'm a bear, I don't
Why
care.
Is animals? Because I'm tank.
Please do not animals.
That poor little Japanese businessman.
Why is animals?
Why is animals?
Speaking of why is animals... Don't fuck the snake.
Don't fuck the snake.
Don't fuck the snake. So there is a new anime that is airing on Crunchyroll called Monster Musume.
It's Everyday Living with Monster Girls.
Yes. And the first two episodes are out as of this recording. And I saw the review of it, and it opens with, like, Monster Musume is a terrible series. Every good, right-thinking person should stay away from it or something like that. And my immediate response was, goes to Crunchyroll. Because I'm like, anything that starts like that, I'm going to have to get eyes on and be like, well, I'm apparently not a decent or right-thinking person because I want to see what the fuck going
on.
We
need eyes on the ground, Saverin.
Yeah, get to it.
Boots on the ground. Eyes on target.
And it was indeed pretty fucked up. So it's a harem anime that has... So a harem anime is when a male character has multiple female characters after
Tenchi.
Him. Tenchi, yeah, Love Hina.
Yeah, all of those.
They were really prevalent in the mid to late 90s. Not so much nowadays. But this one is a harem anime where there are monster girls. And the monster girls are your usual, basically, they're big-titted women with a vague animal feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a snake girl, a Lamia, a harpy, a centaur girl, a spider, a slime, and what was the other one? I mean, there's
Monster
only five.
Musume?
Monster Musume.
Yeah.
And the first episode only consists with the snake girl. But, like, in the first minute, she's, like, smothering him with her tits. By the second minute, he's, like, jacked off her tail to, like, make
she
her...
She comes.
She comes and uncoils because he was constricting him to death.
Yeah.
Is this hentai or?
No, it's a late-night show. It ain't for kids. But it's one of those...
So there's probably no penetration, no
There's
penis.
Probably no actual fucking.
Yeah.
It's a lot of innuendo and boobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we had already seen.
Yeah. God, the opening even, just there's one character that is just battering her boobs against his face.
Yeah, the centaur girl has massive tits.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So she's standing there and, like, she's just going boom, boom, boom.
It is genuinely trashy.
And I just watched like 15 minutes of it with Saverin when I got over here because he was kind of like, you got to see this shit.
You got to see this shit. And it's funny because there's like, oh, the Demi-Human Integration Act or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the monster people, the monster girls coming across are basically ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if you fuck them, you break the law. You go to jail, and they get deported.
Right.
And so...
So don't fuck the snake.
Don't fuck the snake. It is pretty dang special.
That's it mildly.
Yeah, Monster Musume is a shamelessly trashy series. It is reprehensible from nose to tail, and decent folks should avoid it like the plague. Now available at Crunchyroll.com. Episode 3 airs, like, tomorrow.
I just sent a message over to Sam. Do you have Monster Musume? Because he downloads the internet of anime.
Yeah, I bet he does. It's coming out now.
Crunchyroll's been great for getting stuff across faster.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's some good interesting stuff. Shokugeki no Soma, it's Food Wars,
mm-hmm.
where it's a shonen. It's a shonen action anime about cooking. So, like, they make the food look really good, and they have some interesting recipes. And actually, in the manga, they show you some of the recipes that they actually make in the show. But the food is either the most disgusting, bizarre thing ever, or utterly orgasmic. So, like, in the first episode, the character makes this really interesting, like, potato, onion, garlic, like, mold and wraps it in bacon and bakes it so the bacon juice gets into the potatoes and it tastes like pork all the way through and it's really good and like feeds this evil land developer into like if this is good and you like it then you know you'll leave me alone and the woman and her dude eat it and they all have like this mental image of them orgasming and meat juices it's delightfully trashy. It's more over the top and exploitative than Kill la Kill.
Possible?
Yes, because Kill la Kill at least had something of a point.
The thinnest level of story possible to
yes.
get everybody naked.
That's as naked Kill as Kill. Possible, but they had at least a reason. This is like foodgasms. Like, he has these horrible, like, squid tentacle and other thing concoctions he's trying, and he feeds them people. And twice now, like, he feeds a fried squid tentacle, and the person imagines being groped by, you know, getting tentacled by a squid or octopus that's covered in whatever he put on it. Like, one was like honey and one was like peanut butter or whatever. And so it's like, wow, it's really like, so, and so, like, Kill la Kill is no longer like the most over the top exploitative weird anime I've seen in a while. That actually now goes to Monster Musume. And I would say that Food Wars is actually even more over the top because it's all like extraneous. There's skirt shots, all the fun Yurio returns. And I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying that, like,
it's a thing.
It is like over the top.
Now, one thing, I used to watch anime a ton, and I slacked off the last couple of years, but that's because I tend to watch TV while I'm doing something else, which means I'm listening and I'm only glancing
at the TV. Yeah, if it's on Crunchyroll, you're shit out of luck.
And I hate dubs, so I'm pure sub.
Oh man, the Kill la Kill dub is awful.
There's very few dubs I can stand. Most of the ones that Disney has brought over are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some are actually good. But there's very, very few dubs I can't stand without wanting to slit my wrist. So, yeah.
Don't do that.
So, there's been a bunch of anime. I've been meaning to watch Attack on Titan. I love Attack on Titan.
Yep.
Fucking weird premise, but
it's
okay.
A weird-ass premise. And apparently there is a movie that came out that is, like, they just fucked it up.
No.
They took the premise of the Titans and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they made it post-apocalyptic Earth, and it's like a straight horror film, almost. Like, Eren's like the exposition dude, and Mikasa is like Eren's girlfriend and gets lobotomized from being, you know, the actual strong character she is.
Huh.
And it was like,
why? It was good.
Well, it was not, like, the highest budget anime movie, so they worked with what they had, I suppose. But, yeah, fucking anime, man. It's weird.
Yes.
Steven Universe is good, though.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I've been told I need to watch it, and it's from people who are not usually, you know, on the bandwagon.
I need
for all
to
the latest.
Apparently, like, it gets dark. Like, real dark. And so, like, I've seen most, like, the end of the first season, but now they're releasing episodes again. I'm like, shit, I guess I need to get caught up. Same with, like, Gravity Falls. That's coming out again, too, I think. It's a good time to be an animation fan, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Got all kinds of different flavors to go with.
Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Have you guys seen the... Yeah, I know you did, because you posted the link to it.
Oh, the Lego thing?
No, War Dog or something?
Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
I have not.
Oh.
I saw you post about it earlier today, but I didn't look at it.
I saw that, and The Secret Life of Pets looks absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
I haven't seen that one yet.
No, that one's...
And there's some... Actually, this is something I saw on ANN. There was some new Japanese film featuring mice. It's like a 3D CG movie with mice, anime mice.
Of course, Ant-Man came out this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to go see that Friday or Saturday.
That was one that I didn't see a ton of marketing for, honestly. I mean, and that's probably just because I don't go to places where I'll see it, but...
I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. It had, like, a 77.
Yeah, and that was with, like, 43 or more. Actually, yeah, that's actually gone up.
And what was it? What was the emotion one from Pixar, I think?
Oh, Inside Out.
Yeah, that has gotten phenomenal ratings, like a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes.
And I had not even thought of it, really.
I saw the preview, and it looked kind of dumb. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll catch it on
Inside
video.
Out has a 98.
I know. It's like...
And Ant-Man actually has gone up, so it went from 73 when I saw it to 76.
It was 77 when I looked yesterday.
Still, that's...
So it's dialing in because it's, like, the first weekend out. But still, I mean, that's good enough for me to consider going.
Yeah.
And a 98 for Inside Out is enough to make me really freaking curious what the big deal is. I mean, I'll probably go try and see that, like, matinee or something.
Yeah.
Get some cheapy seats.
Well, it's like, if you can manage it, Well, you probably can't, but, like, if you go to the theater, like, Grapevine Mills, it's, like, before 5 p.m., all their tickets are, like, $4.25 or something like that.
As long as it's not probably, like, 3D.
Went robot there for a second.
Which one?
I think you, Shiva. Check your...
robot.
Yeah, beep boop.
Robot.
Yeah, I think... We have new XLR cables, and again...
They're on the way.
Yeah, they are on their way there. I was hoping they'd be here today. We also have... oh, there we go. It's this one.
Oh. Fuzz is going
robot?
Yes,
Fuzz is going robot.
I wasn't even talking.
I know.
I'm going cyborg on us.
Exterminate.
Well, if you look at this cable, it's a bit kinked.
It is kinky.
It's a kinky cable. All right. Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, we pulled all the money off of Patreon and like $255. So
we'll be able to...
We'll be replacing... We have new XLR cables coming. We'll be getting a new headphone preamp. We'll get new headphones so we can monitor, all of us monitor instead of just me. And we'll also be getting a new mic interface.
Yay.
So y'all's Patreon bucks are helping us replace our old ass shit.
Our old ass shit.
Yes. All right.
Always move the hyphen.
To the right. So we are now... nearly 50 minutes into this recording, though that's not 50 minutes into the show, because we were talking for a bit before we actually got started.
Yep. All this fox yapping. All
right, so we should get to our asks, because we were a bit of a derp. Well, actually, Tumblr was a bit of a derp. They update their shit and change their things.
Wait, Tumblr was a derp? That never happens.
I know, right? So they changed the settings so that we stopped getting email notifications when they got new asks. We were just thinking, oh, people just didn't use it and they don't like us anymore. No, there was like 8 or 9 asks that had been sitting for an indeterminate amount of time, and I had to go back in and turn on, yes, email me when we get new asks, Christ. We have... multiple asks that we will get through first, and then we have a few emails even. How exciting is that? All right.
I shit myself with excitement.
Actually, we'll do this ask and then the one about the Patreon, and then we'll take a break, have some music, shill for the Patreon, and do the rest, because we're almost at an hour. All right, so a question for Shiva. If you had to devour one of your co-casters whole... who would it be, assuming personas? No, I don't like Tars Wars and Tars Warring things at all. Why do you ask?
Oh, God.
I'll just get this weird one out of the way.
That's very weird. Considering I'm not into war at all. Do we have to do present, or can we do past?
Past personas?
Or past cast
past
members.
Past members. Tippy toughest kick.
I'm going to be PC and assume not past cast members, because what I would say would probably get me in a lot of trouble. I'm going to go with Saverin because he's small.
Phoenix are small.
He's a bite-sized.
Bite-sized, yes.
Morsel.
Yeah. Saverin as a persona is 4'6" before the ears.
There's in the past, there's other cast members, and there would be a lot of chewing involved.
It would not be soft for at all. It'd be hard for.
Oh, my.
There would be no return.
All right. So the next anonymous ask is, regarding the Patreon, the equipment you want to replace for the show will be also used for audiobook recording for profit. Additionally, the funds will go towards server costs, which also hosts non-Notcast files and websites, including conventions and at least one for-profit business. It may be worth considering these issues and at least be very... at the very least, addressing them publicly, as you are now taking people's money. That is a fair thing, actually.
Well, you don't use the podcast box and these mics for your audiobook recording. You do that directly to your PC, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the microphone that I'm using and the cable that I'm using is the one that I purchased. I replaced one of our dead ones, and it plugs into my DBX-286S over there.
Which is true.
I do not use the podcast box for my audiobook recording.
So the podcast box, so folks know, is what, alligator?
It's a alligator or rhino brand case that...
we've got a couple pieces of...
the stuff that we purchased in 2009 after...
yeah, it's wrapped into it. So that's
after
what
the robbery.
Yeah.
That's what the podcast box is. Now, that is true. The funds will go towards server costs. One thing that Fuzz has never charged us is he's never charged us to host Nodcast, mainly because it's his show too.
Right.
And it is true that we are on the For Planet servers alongside Furry Fiesta.
Furry Siesta.
Is Fiesta on its own server now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's never been on my server.
Oh, I thought it was. All right. So Furry Siesta, Nightmare Nights, and Bronyville are also hosted on.
And Bad Dogs.
And Bad Dog Books.
And Bad Dog Books, yeah.
And For Planet, and Argyle, the Argyle site, the whatever.
Right.
So there's multiple things that are hosted on the For Planet servers. And Nodcast is just one of many. Though all of the things involve all each of us in some manner or another.
Right.
So, yes, some of the money will go to covering some of the costs that we incur on Fuzz on a monthly basis.
But there's how many years of backlog
fees
that we Fuzz has shouldered that this is a drop in the bucket of?
The thing I want to throw out there is I'm paying a hell of a lot more than I really need to. Like, if I just needed a server for Planet, I could probably pay, like, $6 a month at, like, HostGator or something like that. Or maybe, like, $20 a month at WordPress for the Bad Dog Books site. Mm-hmm. But, like, the vast majority of the bandwidth that we use is all those audio files that are downloaded between Nodcast and Bronyville.
Yeah.
Because we've got MP3s and AACs and there's, like... I think I told you guys you were like, with Bronyville, you're like close to like a terabyte or something at one point.
At the peak, it was like a terabyte and a half.
Yeah. So, like, For Planet doesn't really actually use that much bandwidth.
Yeah. I mean,
Siesta doesn't.
The biggest thing that Bad Dog would do would be the PDFs.
Yeah, the actual, which I'm thinking of moving some of that over to Amazon just to make content delivery faster.
Between Nodcast and Bronyville are the two largest sources of bandwidth consumption for Planet.
Been around a lot longer than Bronyville.
Yeah.
We have many, many moons of.
You can still data. Get everything from episode one on up for us still.
I'm just saying, we have many moons of data that Fuzz has kicked out the door to our listeners before we would. If we kept paying for it, I'm stuttering. But you guys get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm honestly not going to be charging Nodcast for server anytime soon. I mean, the majority of the Patreon money is going to go towards replacing a lot of the old equipment. Because we haven't really been replacing it piecemeal in the last 8 years.
No, it's we haven't replaced
pretty much
anything.
All needs replaced.
I mean, the compressors and stuff on the back end are probably still good, but the interfaces, like multiple, like our mic interface, our headphone amp has one dead plug.
Right, and our microphones preamp has like three dead.
Three working ones, and then of course we have the robot voice, so it's clearly, this XLR cable is shit. Because it was the one that was going robot voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's all stuff that we need to replace. And we've just been kind of letting it go. And really, you know, the Patreon is a way for people to give a little bit back for what we've done for 7 or so years. It's far from mandatory. And we're very grateful that the handful of people that have done so have done so.
Yeah.
We're still putting
our shit out for free. Anyway,
yeah. It's always getting free. And. You know,
how many hours of shows we've got?
Oh, Christ. Fuzz could probably find out.
pull it all into an iTunes playlist or something
You know, probably look on your server somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patreon exists as a way for people to donate money towards the show that doesn't involve having to purchase dongs from Adam and Eve. Mm. You know, you can spend...
You can only buy so many dicks.
Yeah, and, you know, Adam and Eve kind of products for a lot of ways, too. So, you know, the Patreon exists as, you know, if people want to donate, they can donate. And we're happy if you do. And if you don't, that's okay, too. We're not going to suddenly stop doing the show because, oh, no, people aren't giving us enough money. If we were worried about money, we wouldn't have been doing this for the past 6.5-7 years that we've been doing it. So, you know, the Patreon's there. If you want to donate, cool. We appreciate it. We have our list. Why don't we list some shout-outs for the folks that do.
So now that we finally got around to, like, setting stuff looking at stuff on the back end here, because it's all there's always like a delay. So like the April pledgers were processed on like May 2nd. So most of these are furry names and names that I recognize as furries. There's a few that, that look more like real names. I'll just read like the first name and the last initial.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's safer that way.
Yeah. So our April Patreon sponsors are Shiro, Zirian, Rayfar, Shadow D. Wolf, Kilkodo, Nate R., Aaron Quinn. I know that's her furry name because it's on the on her Twitter. Michael K., Jeek, Kylie Rouge, and Shiro again. Wait. No, would that change?
Are you rolling to the next month?
It's two different ones. No, it's like two different icons. I wonder if there's one.
I think
Shiro 14 and one Shiroi.
Oh,
okay.
They just changed accounts.
You can't read.
No. I can't read. In May, we added more people. Crash, Graith, and Zyquit. XIQUE.
Zeke.
Really?
XI would be Z. Is pronounced like Z.
Uh-huh.
QE. Key. So
okay.
Zeke.
Wow. Okay. Write in and tell us if that's right, because that's kind of creative.
Yeah.
And our June folks were processed on July 2nd, and it only lists two, but I think what it's doing is it's listing the people that were in addition to the prior month. So this month we added Jeeves the Roo and Paul, no last name.
Yay.
And somebody liked our post on Oklahomos.
So
we got, the dashboard's kind of neat. It tells you like if you got a like on your post, somebody changed their pledge or added a pledge or made a comment on a post and stuff like that. Like, I haven't really looked at the back end of Patreon now. Cause I have a personal Patreon that I'm not using to earn money, that I'm using just to sponsor other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen like the front end, but I haven't really fiddled around with like the back end of it before.
So it's kind of cool. Not to
yeah. Receive. Like I support like some friends and some people I'm fans of and stuff like that. I mentioned this on Twitter, actually, speaking of which, but Rikoshi has a Patreon mm-hmm. now. It's patreon.com/Rikoshi. As you may know, he's the author of Summerhill, which Saffron read the audiobook for.
Buy our book.
And Rikoshi is going to be working on the sequel, which is called Stargazer. And if he gets enough Patreon funds, like he can basically reduce his day job time in order to spend more time working on the book. And basically the Patreon funds would supplement the income, kind of even out. Yeah. And he's already posted a bonus story on Patreon, which you can read entirely for free. You can just download it as, an RTF document last I checked. So.
Cool.
So check out his Patreon and check out our Patreon and Patreon.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break, stop and save. Wait, did you something say?
Oh, when we come back, I got people ask if we found any gay or lesbian books, and I found one recently.
Cool. back.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, so we have a few more asks. Some of them are short, some of them are long, but not really. All right, so this guy is from Grinthorn. Dear Notcast, I am Grinthorn, a newly enlisted military fur who will be finishing training around late October, 22nd Pacific. And I was wondering what cons are going on from then to after New Year's, preferably around the St. Louis area. Travel doesn't bother me. I just want to conserve my money for college and such expenses. Any and all answers will be highly appreciated, and I hope all is well on your side of the mic. Sincerely, Grinthorn. And he is in the National Guard.
When on October? Because it is Oklacon.
October 22nd.
And it's a drive from there, but it's cheap.
Isn't Midwest in, like, December now?
Yeah, it's like the first weekend in December.
In Chicago,
yeah.
I think that's kind of it.
I'm not really we were talking about this the other day. There is a con, air quotes, in Missouri. F3, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know when that is.
I say air quotes because it had like 50 people there last year, so it's kind of
a meetup.
It's kind of a big meet, yeah. But they call themselves a con.
Yeah. I think that's kind of it, though. Because if his time limit is to the end of the year, then yeah, that's MFF and Oklacon. And Oklacon is the 26th of October this year, 23rd, 25th. So.
Yeah, the weekend before Halloween.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the calendar.
I'm torn because, I mean, I'm sad they had to move, but it now means that I can go up for a couple days and I can still do Halloween parties locally.
Yep.
How far away is Missouri from Minnesota?
A ways.
Because if he's in St. Louis, he's on the eastern side of the state.
Okay.
So even going to Oklacon, even though it's closer on eastern Oklahoma, mm-hmm. southeastern Oklahoma, it's still a hell of a haul.
Yeah, I mean,
is anywhere near Ohio?
Yeah, in theory.
For reality, it is October 9th through 11th in Ohio.
He's going to be done in October 22nd.
So it needs to be after October 22nd.
So his basically is November and December cons only.
Okay, so we got, yeah, well, you know, we're near Arizona. Well, that's 16 to 18. So Oklacon in Oklahoma, FanCon in Tennessee, Furpocalypse in Connecticut, Furry Unlocked in Utah, Pacific Anthropomorphics Weekend in California, Central Plains FurCon in Kansas. That's November 5th through 8th.
That's just a drive across the state.
Mm-hmm. Midwest Fur Fest, December 4th through 6th in one of the satellite towns around Chicago.
That's about it, huh?
And that's it to the end of the year.
Okay. So there's your answers. You're looking at, like, Oklacon or...
There's some that haven't been announced yet. Like, F3, it's in Missouri. November 2015,
If they don't have a date announced, then they're not happening this year, probably.
Yeah,
but until they officially say whether they are or not, WikiFur basically puts them into TBA, you know, and just puts a question mark. So.
Okay. The next anonymous said, "Your show is amazing. Keep up the good work." Thank you, Anon. The next one is, "Dear Notcast, here's an odd issue that has been bothering me. The basic situation is this. An adult artist I've come to deeply respect has identified themselves with an offshoot of the men's rights movement with some fucked up views of women. On one hand, I know the reasonable thing would just be to move on, yet I find myself bouncing back and forth from this back to the fact that I don't have the right to make assumptions about someone I don't know personally. How should I approach this maturely? Do you know this person and interact with them regularly?"
Like, on a personal level?
Yes.
Or is this just someone you distantly know?
Or is it somebody you're just a fan of? Like, I can say, oh, fuck, what's his name? Dude who Fisk and he does...
Jay Naylor.
I can think Jay Naylor's politics are dumb. I can also think he draws a really nice horse cock.
Mm-hmm.
And his other porn's pretty good, too.
I've known him... Well, I used to know him a lot better way, way, way back in the day. And we had a couple of kerfluffles. I'm not that fond of him, but... I can't help but deny that he draws really good art.
Yeah.
I probably won't be friends with him, but I can appreciate his artistic skills.
Yeah. It really depends on how much interaction you have with this person. You can respect their art and their style still, mm-hmm. but if they're politically gross to you, but you still want to like their art, don't follow them on Twitter. Don't follow. But I mean, if you follow them on Tumblr and they post their shit, that's a bit of a problem. But if they post their art to FA or whatever, follow it there and don't read their journals. I mean, you do have the ability to filter what you see.
Yeah.
If you find it too much of an issue, then stop looking at their art.
Yeah, there I was are people. Say that.
That I think are very skilled, but I find their personal politics to be outside of what I accept. Like, I'm pretty tolerant, but, like, some people, you know, like one person in particular, I'm not going to name names, pulled some really heinous, hypocritical shit.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I don't look at their art, I don't follow them on Twitter, Tumblr, FA, whatever. I have just ignored this person.
Right.
Because...
There's always going to be someone else that will draw a nice ass for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just a fan, you don't have to worry about it. You just don't consume their art or their you don't consume their product if it's that big of an issue.
Yeah.
Because engaging with them over the internet and trying to change their opinions is just not going to go well. This kind of stuff just doesn't. if you're not their buddy, you're just a random fan. You know, you'll just get told to fuck off, probably.
Yeah.
So.
More asks?
Yep. Hey, Notcast, how awesome would it be if I got a Super Soaker water gun and a bunch of that Just Add Water lube? Cool if everybody is aware of it.
And also, if you can actually get it to come out of the gun without it gumming up the entire damn thing.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things that you'd have to mix it pretty thin.
Yeah.
You can probably shoot Astroglide through a Super Soaker. So as long as it's, you know, slightly more watery.
Sorry. The gel kind, so it just kind of goes... Bleh.
Well, no, you can get it fairly liquid, so you'd have to make it just...
It looks like Odo trying to push himself through a pipe or something.
God.
I mean, it really depends.
Or if you got the 55-gallon drum of lube.
Then you just jump into it.
Still
want
to do the kiddie pool full of lube. I do. It would be fun. Diet Blue or something.
Because that was the ad, wasn't it? It was like, or was that the one that was like two guys with the big pump ones and they were like pumping the lube on each other?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, it was like I think years ago, actually. We were, like the one time I went to Pride, there was an ad for one of the lube companies. It was two shirtless guys who were, like, of course, totally twink, totally hairless. And they're just got those massive things of lube that have the pump on the top. And they were just pumping it on each other. So they're all wet and glistening and stuff.
Then they fell and cracked their fucking skulls.
It was like, no, it was ID, I think, was sponsoring
ID's
it.
ID's crap, anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was an amusing
ad. Yeah, I just want to get a big thing of dry J-lube, mix it up, kiddie pool.
Yep.
It's like Jell-O wrestling, but slipperier.
Oh, man. Or do a super slip and slide and you'll just never stop.
I kind of want to do a slip and slide, not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that just reminded me of, remember a couple years back, someone was doing like an offbeater or something to do that full-size vor thing that was like and slide.
Yeah, the vor tube.
That's what you could use the 55-gallon drum for.
I think that got mentioned in, like, the Giant Bombcast, like a mainstream gaming podcast. Oh, like, God. Check out this shit I saw.
Usually that's reserved for Bad Dragon. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did you hear that Dragonair's getting all of his teeth replaced with teeny weenies? They're all dragons. Why does Dragonair hate all the other furry species? Revlog!
This came up on Twitter.
This came up on Twitter.
I saw somebody tweet that.
That was me. So... another anonymous asked, over the past year, my sexual fetishes have been slowly getting more perverse. But it wasn't until I spanked a statue that I realized I'd hit rock bottom.
Oh. Oh.
10 out of 10, dude. Oh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
All right.
Nice.
Next one. Following question is tricky, I know. I hope you'll be able to provide some suggestions. How do you go about breaking ties with a former friend? Someone with whom you used to be fairly close. Not best friends, but good friends. But then, due to changes in both your life and theirs, you no longer enjoy spending time in their company. Would you recommend talking to them and letting them know how you feel, however painful it may be, or just trying to quietly phase yourself out?
You look them in the eye and say, get out.
I'd be more inclined to just phase them out. I mean,
yeah, it's just like, don't hang out with them.
Don't initiate.
Yeah.
They might object, though. They might be like, I'm phasing out of the space-time continuum. Sorry.
It really depends on like how big of an issue that person is in your life. Like if they're really turning into a shit, you need to tell them, dude, you're kind of a shit. I don't feel like hanging out with you anymore. Call me back when you get your act together. Or, you know, don't even add in the last part. Because I mean, it really depends on how big of an impact are they having on your life.
Mm-hmm.
This actually kind of goes back to the artist question. It's like, are you close friends with this person? Do you see them constantly? Or are they kind of peripheral? Do you have to go slightly out of your way to hang out with them? If you have to go slightly out of your way and you don't want to
go out of your way,
then don't go out of your way.
Right.
I mean, that's really up to you. If you think they're going to make an issue of it, if you do talk to them, then probably the latter option is superior just because it's less drama. That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not the most social person, and I can be pretty bad about initiating conversations with people.
Yeah.
But, like, I let people know, and I talk to folks. But, you know, when there's people I hang out with locally, I let them know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you can have, like a one-on-one and just be like, you know, you really ruin everything.
Yeah. It's like, you're super negative, dude.
God, I know some people like that. Like, I've been muting a lot of bitches lately because it's like
mute is a nice thing.
It really is. And it's if like, you're you just like a to... constant stream of negativity and constantly pissing on everything, I'm just like, ugh, whatever, you know.
And if
my tweets muting is like you never have to see them. But they don't know you're not watching, so you don't have the drama of, oh, I have an unfollow bot that shows me who unfollowed me.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of person is...
You can always mute instead of unfollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is just, it's so egotistical. It's like, oh no, this person unfollowed me, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're with a fag, you know.
I've seen people, like, go... crazy about somebody unfollowing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, it's like when people leave a guild and wow, and you have somebody who's like, oh, what a fag, good riddance, you know, that kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and there's like a million reasons why I might not want to read somebody's Twitter. And it doesn't mean you're a fucking horrible person or anything like
that. Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, what if someone just doesn't like books, you know, they just wanted dick jokes and like I'm tweeting about,
you know,
furry writing too much or something.
Somebody I follow keeps retweeting somebody I don't want to see. I can mute that person or
can block the person that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Or you can turn off
retweets.
Their retweets, which yep. a lot of people don't know about. If someone is retweeting a ton of shit that you don't want to see, go to their profile and turn off retweets.
So you only see the tweets they make.
Because this happens a lot when you follow like a funny Twitter account, a lot of times they'll be like sponsoring another account. You should follow this person. You should follow this person. It'll be like I followed like an Abandoned Pics account,
uh-huh.
and they started retweeting another account that they ran, which was called Horrifying Pics.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm not interested in horrifying pics.
That's not what I want
so
to see.
So I turned off retweets, so all I see are the pictures that I wanted to see.
Content.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I've had to do that with some people too. On my AD account, there's like this one dude. It's like super fetishy, and I don't know why I allowed him to follow me. But
mm-hmm.
like he retweets and retweets, and I'm like, cute. All right, cute anime pics, cute furry pics, cute porn. You know, oh humans. Oh God, get this shit off my Twitter. It's like I don't want to see your asshole. I don't want to see your asshole, asshole. All right, next one. We're almost to the end here. It's actually the last three. And they're all short, though, thankfully.
They just keep coming. Oh, my God.
Well, this way I can go back through. And actually, I'm pretty sure that these last two are also...
In the email?
In the email box.
Right, okay.
So
that makes sense.
We only have like 2 emails for this.
Okay.
Dear Nutcast, it was recently announced that Maltese FurCon 2015 has been canceled due to lack of interest, with only about 20 people having pre-read. In recent years, we in the fandom have seen the number of FurCons and the attendees at those cons grow at an almost exponential rate. Do you think that Maltese FurCon's cancellation is suggesting that finally the furry con bubble has at capacity, or was the lack of interest due to other factors I'm not aware of?
I don't think so. Well, there's a... Isn't that the one that was up against the other New England
FurryCon? So the lack of interest is due to other factors. There was another con 6 months earlier in the same town, and apparently Maltese FurCon's hotel room rate was $189 a night.
Ow.
Which is completely way far out of the normal range.
Especially for a smaller con.
Especially for a smaller con, it was really hard to like get your shit together that first couple years if you have like that big a hurdle. And there was apparently some... I can't say, we don't know who started it, but according to Maltese FurCon, there was some bad blood between them and Anthro New England. So, could be drama, could be local politics. I'm betting the $189 a night room rate did not help at all.
No.
No.
That, and I think it was in August, and there's like... There's a handful of other cons in August.
I will say that, you know, there's only room for so many national level cons. Mm-hmm. And national level, I mean Rainforest. I mean
Fiesta.
FC, Fiesta. We're now half the size of fucking Anthrocon. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Midwest. Anthrocon, obviously, because they're the top dog.
Yeah.
FWA. You know, those are the national level cons.
And then
everybody else is the regionals.
You have like, if you're like under 1,000 people, you're a regional con, pretty much. And that goes from like, I've seen cons with like 150 people, cons with like 700 people. That's basically a regional con. And from what I've heard from some people is they do one big national con a year. So maybe they're on the West Coast and they go to FC. And then they do like one small regional con that's within reach of them. So they might do like two cons maybe halfway across the year.
And actually I forgot Big Little Fur Con because they're now technically national level.
Yeah.
They are big.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I do think that the bubble is close to capacity, though.
Yeah, because there's only so many furs out there. Our biggest con only has 6,300, 6,400 people.
Yeah.
That's a tiny anime con.
Yeah.
You know.
Like Acon, our anime con down here, has 22,000.
28 this year.
28,000
this year. They went like 22,000, and they're not even the biggest anime con.
Isn't there one that's like 50,000?
Oh, there's bigger fucking cons.
Well, I'm talking anime cons.
Otakon in Baltimore. Right. And I'm sure Anime Expo in California is fucking huge.
And then you've got San Diego Comic Con, 150,000, which they have to cap it at because it's fucking impossible.
Yeah. Hell, PAX Prime is like 110,000.
Yeah.
That's insane. I can't imagine trying to wrangle that.
Those are... a million miles beyond what, and like, I'll be honest, the fact, okay, that none of our cables are touching now. Maybe there's some interference. I don't know. I like my con being small. Uh-huh. It is small. You know, not like 1,400 people ish. But I can still have my fingers in the pies and keep an eye on all the things. Once you get past a certain thing and you have to have layers of bureaucracy, that fills me with dread. My con will never get that big, thankfully, and even Fiesta doesn't have that many layers of bureaucracy to it. But once you get past, like, 10K or so, the levels of bureaucracy present in convention running is a nightmare.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to see trying to do something that big, you know, non-profit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Fiesta takes up a huge amount of time if you're a lead.
Yep.
And it's just getting bigger. So trying to do that... and a day job gets really taxing in February and, you know.
And October.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much, you go to work, you come home, and then you do your other job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trying to do something for somebody that's, you know, 25,000, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So yeah. That's the thing. I mean, you have to look at your region. Where are you at? You know, never start a fucking con out of spite for another con, you morons, for fuck's sake. God.
Yeah, cons born out of drama.
Never go well.
I don't even bother with, you know, there's a couple of what we call fuck you cons. They're like, oh, well, screw that con. We're going to go start our own con.
We'll make our own con with blackjack and hookers.
And everything we don't like about the other con. And then because there's so many people that think, I can run a con better than these assholes.
No, you fucking can't.
And they do not realize what a deep, deep hole they're jumping into.
I mean, there's a living nightmare. You have to do to, in order to pull it off.
You know, yeah.
It's insane. You have to love it or else.
You know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love running a con. Fiesta and Nightmare Nights are both fantastic challenges that I really enjoy. But fuck, is it hard and scary.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, the amount of work you have to put into it.
And even Siesta coming up, I mean,
there's so much shit you don't know.
And it comes back around and, you know, and you gotta come up with answers real quick, real smooth.
Oh, God. We should do a YouTube series, just call it How the Sausage is Made, Furry Cons, and just talk about, all right, so this is what happens X months out. And, like, if we did, like, a YouTube series about that, I bet people'd like that.
I bet less people would want to start cons out of spite.
Yeah. Like, all right. So it'd be, like, the genesis of drama. We can talk about the founding. And then, like, all right, this is how we started this and this and this. Oh, you didn't know about that? Well, guess what? You have to do this, too. Oh, and this. And let me utter the phrase, food and beverage minimum.
Yeah.
And let's talk about room nights and hotel contracts and getting food trucks and allowing that.
And insurance.
And parking.
And what is ASCAP and BMI to cover your
music
charges. And radio rental, equipment rental, the cost thereof. How much does it cost to run a rave?
You know, I had no idea before we started in Fiesta how fucking complicated getting a hold of radios was. I'm like, fucking walkie-talkies. I used to get them out of a cereal box when I was a kid. They can't be that hard. They're actually really fucking hard. And like,
and
all
especially
the
ones that will make it through several floors of
Of a fucking concrete building. And there's like, there's all these regulations about the frequencies that you use and stuff like that.
You have to have, like, the owner has to have a license from the FCC.
Yeah, it's ridiculously complicated just to get fucking radios.
Yeah. So I think we should, like, discuss that and maybe do that.
We could always just have a drag in some other Fiesta staffers.
Yeah,
and
just
about,
have an interview and just go step by step.
About. We could do it on your green screen and have, like, an image of Pat screaming and holding his head in the background or something.
We'd have to, but yeah, I think we should do that. At some point here in the near future. But not right now. We have more asks.
Wow, you're suggesting, like, another big project? You have fun with that. I'm out.
You wouldn't have to.
I will maybe participate a little bit.
You're on the board, but that's it.
I'm already busy.
Yeah.
With my own
Siesta.
After
Siesta.
You know, because Ms. President of the Board over here is a little busy. And I've got Sand Japan that weekend. And so, yeah, I really need to just bite the bullet and buy a fucking video camera. Anyways, so
I'll borrow a GoPro.
It depends on how long it can record. We'll see. We'll see. Anyways, moving on. This isn't. Hey, you've got all these projects on your plate. Why don't we just add one more? The good going self. All right. So this one's from Jeeves Roo. All right. Hey, Nightcasters. An on-topic question this week. I hear that this year Anthrocon had over 6,000 attendees, and that made me wonder, between you all, you have attended and run a number of different conventions of varying sizes. How does the feel of a convention change as it gets bigger? Is it intimidating to attend a con of 6,000 people, as opposed to, say, a con of 1 to 2? Or does it become that much easier to get swept up into the party atmosphere? Jeeves, from Scotland.
I've been to some big cons, comes to mind. I think smaller cons are more social. You better know some people to hang out with. Whereas if you go to large cons, you got a better chance of finding something else to keep your
attention
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
In my personal experience, I've been to conventions ranging from around 200 to 300 people to 40,000 people. Some of these smaller pony cons here in Texas, when some of them had were that low. And you had to know some people, and it felt pretty sparse because these were cons that had shrunk. And so they had the space of the prior years, and it felt pretty bad. But then we also, you know, when MFM back in the day, when they were in Memphis still, and like the first few years, that felt pretty good in terms of like the number of people in the halls and whatnot. And when they shrunk a little bit, it was noticeable. When a con is well suited to its space, it feels pretty good. Like Fiesta, it grew into the Crown Plaza. When eventually overfilled. So we now have an idea of what the cap for furries is in that hotel. It's about 1,500. And
I don't know how all con squeezes more in there.
They don't anymore. They moved to the Intercontinental.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. The answer is they put all that shit in the hallways.
And it makes it a nightmare to navigate.
Well, it wouldn't work for us because of fursuits.
Yeah.
You know, because they need a lot more space.
Yeah, they got stormtroopers.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have remotely been ADA compliant in that either.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then Fiesta in its current space is really spread out. We have tons of room to grow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we grew a big chunk last year, and it didn't really feel like we squeezed at all.
So, I mean,
26% last year.
Wow.
And
I think it was higher than that, but still, it was a large value, and it...
We still felt good.
Yeah.
I was just...
Not empty, just about right.
Yeah. I was just talking about someone about this the other day. The first year we moved to Pittsburgh with Anthrocon, the con almost felt deserted. You know,
it
felt
huge.
Like a mistake because it's like there's all this unused space and you have to walk. Felt like through all this just empty, abandoned part of the convention center to get over to the other ballroom and stuff like that. But as the con has grown. And we're using more space, and then we moved from the smaller hall into the bigger hall, and then we moved stuff into the bigger, smaller hall again, so now we're in two halls.
Both the halls, plus they have all the panel rooms, plus the big ballroom. They're actually utilizing the space
now. So the con is in that, and there's still Hall A that we're not even in. Mm-hmm. And that thing is like they have boat shows and shit in there. I mean, it's fucking huge. So, like, AC has grown tremendously since 2006. It still has a shitload of space to grow in. But, like, even a big con in a huge space feels kind of sad, you know? But as the con has grown into that space, now it really feels like, oh, you know, there's stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's personality is going to be a little different as to how they approach this. Like, a friend of mine wanted me to come out to Comic-Con one year, and technically I could get like a pro pass as a publisher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that sounds absolutely awful to me. You know, everything I've heard about Comic-Con is like, it's 150,000 people. You don't walk across the dealer's room. You shuffle along in a crowd. And if
it's God a billion dude degrees.
If you, God forbid, stop to look at something, you piss off everybody behind you. And it just... I've read some con reports of people that have gone. Like, there's nowhere to sit down. If you're not in... 100% shape, like you have like back pain or something like that, you're fucked. You know? And it just being crammed in and the whole thing like Hall H, oh, I'm going to wait for like the big Marvel, like they had a Star Wars panel and they had the whole cast there, you know.
And people are camped out the day before.
Yeah. And you don't do anything else until that panel because you're camped in line.
Yeah. Hope you got a piss bottle.
And I'm like,
and a diaper.
Yeah. And I'm like, sock. Fuck that.
A poop sock.
Anyway, I'm like, fuck that. I'll just watch the damn panel on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm not. And I know they're not worried about losing my ticket or something because they sell out every year. But Like, I would not want to go to a convention that big. It sounds awful. I know
there's plenty of creators that have just sworn it off because it's such a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, the potential for money is there, but the logistics and the actual experience going as a creator from everything I've seen.
Well, for one thing, the tables and booths cost so much.
Oh, yeah.
And then on top of that, the hotel rooms are like $400 a night.
Yeah, it is a nightmare that is too big for its own good. Like, but actually, I'm going to contrast, like, so, you know, Anthrocon has plenty of room to grow.
Yeah.
Akon doesn't anymore. They had 28,000 this year, so they grew a further couple thousand people more came. Uh-huh. And they are running out of space.
And they've only been in a hotel for, like, 2 years, I think?
And they have a couple more years on their contract. but the thing is, the only larger spot is the
actual Dallas Convention
which
Center.
Which is tied up by Dallas Comic Con, who incidentally is a bunch of cunts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you mean tied up by them? I mean, they're not at the same time.
They are next year. They are on the same fucking weekend as Akon.
That's unfortunate.
This is some inside baseball shit, but the people running that con are trying to take out Akon.
Really?
To get them to, like, sell out or something. They're a bunch of cunts.
To try to
take it out, yeah.
Well, let
take
me
it
just out throw take it on, over. Allegedly, onto this.
Yeah, allegedly. Anyways.
I know nothing about this. So.
I do, unfortunately.
I, Fazulius E. Wolf, divorce myself.
Fazulius T. Wolf?
Fuzz E. Wolf.
Okay, anyways, that hotel, I was there tabling. I left my table once. Walked from one end of the hotel to the other, and I was done. Uh-huh. I went back behind my table and stayed there for the rest of the con because there were so many people, a billion dude degrees, and, like, just nope.
Yeah. Man.
But I went to PAX South this year with Shiva and had a fucking blast, mm-hmm. but that had 40,000 people because they're in a space, they have space to grow and spread out.
Yeah, that so convention center is massive.
Yeah, and I'm going to be back there for San Japan here in 2 weeks' time, now that I think about it. Today is the
Thursday
16th, so yes, in 2 weeks' time, I will be in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, we will not be recording that weekend.
Yeah, because it's also the same weekend as Furry Siesta, so Shiva will be a little busy.
Just a bit. And if I hadn't gotten the table at San Japan, I would be at Siesta, and we still wouldn't be able to get the recording done.
Yeah.
That one only has 14,000 to 16,000 people, so it'll be interesting to see if that con feels anemic because they use more space than PAX South had. They use both sides of the convention center, mm-hmm. apparently.
Maybe they have, like, some big displays they might, or something.
But so did PAX South. And so it's one of those things where I don't know how that's going to feel versus my experience at PAX South. I had a shit ton of fun at PAX South, and I really am going to try to go again next year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to go next year, give it 1 year to grow.
I had a lot of fun.
It really depends on where we are in house buying.
Yeah. House buying. God, let's not get into that topic.
We should probably move on.
Yeah.
So that one was actually in the
thing. Two more things. You guys get to read an email because I've talked a lot this episode.
Okay.
Save the long one for Shiva.
That one's short.
I don't think either one's very long.
That one's mid-sized. That one's short. Okay, I'll read the mid-sized one then.
Okay.
A question. Need advice, please. Hey guys, I need some advice. I'm a gay male furry recently separated from his partner of 16 years.
Oh.
I've been living in a town approximately 300 miles from my parents. However, now I'm looking at moving back home to my old hometown. This presents some unique challenges, and I would like your advice. Well, I am not out to my parents. I suspect they have their suspicions, but I've never been told that I am gay. As well as being a furry, I am also a leather and rubber pup. My parents know that I am a furry and have attended a couple furry cons with me in my hometown. Where my challenge occurs is I am fairly open where I live now, often wearing t-shirts that celebrate the pup community, as well as wearing my owner's collar. since they're not aware of the pup community, nor are they aware of my being gay, at least officially. I'm in a quandary as to what to do. Should I lay it all on the line and tell them, or risk having them see me wearing a shirt and having to deal with awkward questions? If it helps, I'm a 43-year-old male, and I've been living on my own for 16 years with my partner. Any advice would be appreciated, and feel free to discuss this on air in case your advice could help others. I'm going to say anonymous, as it's sent from my iPhone, which is a really weird name for a fursona.
Hey, there's some weird fursonas out there. Some people, you know, he sexually identifies as a attack helicopter. Who knows? fuck.
I would leave out the pup for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's really no real reason to.
It's similar to our discussion earlier about, like,
your parents don't need to know.
Give them the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be like, yo, I'm into this shit. They don't need to know. They probably don't want to know.
You know.
And that's fine.
Moving back home as an adult is sometimes something people have to do, especially with as shitty as the job market is right now. And you are an adult, but you're still in their home, so you're gonna kind of have to control your lifestyle a little bit to live in that environment.
Yeah, you're gonna have to dial it back like 12 steps here.
Right. So
ditch the collar, put the shirts in your closet, be a normie, at least until you get your shit together.
Yeah.
Gay, yeah. You'll have to feel out. I mean,
you're an adult. Don't get me wrong. You are more than welcome to make your own decisions. But if you're moving back to your parents' hometown and or with your parents, you're going to have to put forth the quote-unquote presentable son look until you get your shit together. Because it sounds like you don't have your shit together right now after a breakup of 16 years. You're going to need their support, and it may be predicated on you not being, quote, weird.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not the whole, oh, I'm not going to be true to myself or whatever. I mean, you sort of need to be logical and practical as well. I mean, you're not betraying anything if you try to fit in as a, quote, normie for a little while.
Normies, get out!
I mean, you know, yeah, like Saverin said, ditch the collar. Don't accidentally wear a pup t-shirt. You know, actually pay attention to what you're putting on, you know, and you stow that stuff at the back of the closet for a couple of years.
And it's, you know, the stuff that flew when you were in a relationship and living elsewhere and had a community. You're having to transplant yourself to a new place.
It's basically
It any harder on yourself than you have to.
Go move home. Rein it all in, and then you're going to need to feel to see where everybody's comfort zone is. Until you get there, then don't worry about it, and then you're going to have to feel it out as you go. But I wouldn't move back home and just suddenly be all pup pride and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
All right. Any more on that one?
No, that's it. No, I'm archiving it.
Okay, so...
Oh, we just got another email from someone who read our Twitter, apparently.
Next one is Sona advice.
Okay.
So it's been a while since I adopted the attached critter. I call him the food
dog. Doggone.
As my primary persona. But I'm still hesitating on whether to pull the trigger on anthropomorphizing him, partly for fear of being a tad too close to being a sparkle dog. I stray towards species that have connotations of being considered loyal, guarding others... than a touch exotic, my previous persona being an angelic Arctic fox, and my current a hybrid between a foo dog and an eastern dragon. As a side note, that's a gorgeous piece of art you
have. That is very pretty.
And I really like that design.
Your mane.
My question is this. Should I upgrade the guy to a bifetal form, or should I start barking up a less snowflake-laden tree? Catching up from 245, Wainwright, wait, wrong name, Aerotan.
I have seen way more sparkle doggy sonas than this.
Yeah,
this is pretty tame, really.
I'll give you.
You only have two colors.
I'll give you the same answer I use for myself, which is do whatever you like. Shiva is a check cat. You know, she's up tour and everything else like that. And not every artist is comfortable drawing tours, or they just do it badly. So I'll have a plain two-legged form for that, and I've got a couple pieces of art of that. I mean, you can go back and forth between both. It doesn't have to be an official upgrade. You can just, this is an alternative way of showing him, you know. There's no hard and fast rules about what you have to do with your persona. It's just whatever you like. If somebody does nice anthro art and you want to see him draw an anthro, then get him drawn anthro. If not, have him done in your old style. It's not wrong. It's whatever you like. So, that's my take on it.
Yeah. I was basically going to say the same thing about have them drawn anthro, have them drawn non-anthro, whatever fits the situation. You know, you don't have to be stuck to one if you don't want to be. I mean, it's my choice that I've been the same bipedal wolf forever. But, you know, you can have different things if you want. I mean,
whatever floats your
goat. Whatever, man.
Yeah. And no, your design is not Sparkle Doggy. It's two colors. Oh. It's a neat design. And
yeah.
I've seen far, 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 far worse.
Yeah.
Do not worry.
Write back and tell us who did that art, because I'd like to see more of their stuff.
It's pretty.
That shit is hella ballin'.
You.
Okay.
All right. This one is a Shiva question, but I will read it. Hey guys, I have a longer, more complex question for you in the near future, but here's a quick one. My boyfriend and I are starting to explore the open part of our open relationship a little more seriously, cautiously seeing if folks are interested, that sort of thing. I'm having a hard time saying I'm not interested in someone in such a way that doesn't keep my boyfriend from pursuing that possibility for himself. He can get discouraged at times. We're both noobs at this. Advice.
I don't quite understand.
Okay.
He's having a hard time saying that he's not interested.
Basically, they're looking for, like, a third, but...
Well, no, they're not. They're looking for an open relationship.
Okay. Well...
That's what Tieran and I have.
Yeah.
So is it something like where if he's interested in someone, the boyfriend jumps in and goes, me too? Is that what they're...
So, hang on. In a way that doesn't keep my boyfriend from pursuing that possibility for himself.
I think maybe that...
sounds a bit like it.
His boyfriend is like, I like this person. And you go, okay, that doesn't float my boat. That the boyfriend would then be like, oh, okay, and not actually pursue it further.
Oh, well, it might be.
Slightly vague.
I would say write back with more details, personally, and clarify, because the way it's phrased, it's a little bit ambiguous.
The other thing that it depends a little on is it the kind of relationship where you both have to be involved? Because I know some people, it's like, it has to be both of you, so you're looking for a three-way. And other people are, you have your interests, I have my interests, and we're going to fuck different people. If it's the latter, and if your boyfriend expresses interest in someone, all you have to do is say, great, go have fun. If it's the former, then you have to find someone that you're both interested in, and that is a little bit more complicated. So that level of detail would probably help out.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the last one. Excuse me. It's not too big. But this is someone that read my Twitter, where I asked for AC Con reports, I'm assuming. So what was that?
My phone being retarded.
Oh, okay. So the subject line is AC! With exclamation points. Hello again, Notcasters. I heard you guys wanted AC Con reports, so here's mine. Hopefully it arrives in time for this week's recording. Just barely. I flew out from SFO on Wednesday night / Thursday morning and had a brief layover at DFW. Woo!
Texas!
I arrived in Pitt around noon and got situated soon after in the Westin. The lobby and elevators got remodeled over the past year, and it's a lot nicer than before, with more places to sit and areas to meet up with friends. Yeah, I didn't go into the Westin at all this year.
That elevator lane is always a hellscape.
They've had it moving a little bit better the last couple of years. I wonder if they'll get into that, but I'm really curious how this new system worked out.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay, the lobby and elevator garage. The new elevator system was a mixed blessing. Sometimes it worked fast, other times it would take forever for the assigned elevator to arrive. And we still had the elevator line in the lobby, so mixed results there. I fursuited a bunch and hung out in a dealer's den with artist friends during the whole weekend. I also had drinks and fursuit at Tonic with some German friends on Saturday night. It was so nice to see them again and just hang out for that brief moment during the con. The fursuit parade on Saturday was awesome, as it was the first fursuit parade that snaked outside onto the street that runs under the convention center. I was getting tired by that point in the parade, but when I walked into the huge cheering crowd of Pittsburgh locals, it gave me the energy to continue. We felt like rock stars. Despite the length, it was one of the best fursuit parades I've ever done. This AC was one of the better ones that I've been to. It's still hard to find people during the con, but it didn't put a damper on things. Time, on the other hand, flew too quickly. When we were flying out on Monday, there was a flight to Las Vegas that was more than a dozen furries wound up on, including the Fur Planet sales corgi, Zia. Sadly, I wasn't on said flight. I don't remember specifically what Zia and I talked about, but he wound up giving me a copy of Goddess on the condition that I write a review of it when I finish it. I guess I'm doing that soon, as I'm almost done. Thanks, Zia, and thanks, Fuzz, for publishing it. :3. Thanks for reading my email, and I hope you guys have a good furry siesta. Cassidy.
Yay! All right, cool.
And our mailbox is cleaned out!
Yay! As is our Tumblr Ask box. Now, if you email us, or...
If you Tumblr us,
you will actually get the emails. All right, so it is now nearly 11 o'clock.
It's time
to wrap this up.
Well, you are home.
I'm home. I'll just have to, slap the file together and whatever. I'll upload it in the morning.
Put a polish on this turd.
Yep, I do. So, as always, you can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can contact us on Tumblr at notcast.tumblr.com. We have a Patreon. Notcast. On FA. Notcast. Weasley. Weasel. How do you say it?
Weasel.
Weasel. We have a Notcast there, but we don't post it yet.
Oh. Twitter.
Twitter. Notcast. Wow. It's like there's a pattern here. Pretty much that's it, I think.
Think so.
Yeah. So, beyond that, you can go to furplanet.com. Buy books. Buy his books.
Yay. Go to audible.com and buy Saverin's books.
Yay. And hopefully I'll be able to submit Divisions for review soon. I haven't heard back from Kyle. I hope he didn't die from
Divisions already done. You mean Uncovered?
Uncovered, yes.
Yes.
The one I just finished. I hope he didn't die from San Diego Comic-Con Concrud, because I haven't heard back from him, and I gave him the mastered files for him to review. I want to get it up on Audible so you can download it and buy my book.
At this point, Saverin descended into yaps.
Yep.
Just distressed yapping.
That's cool. I'll be doing Server Planet stuff soon too. Woo-hoo! Okay. What do you got going?
Huh?
You've got siesta coming up. Woo!
Oh god, siesta! Siesta is coming.
Looks like it'll be a decent sized meetup. Mini-con.
Yeah, it's looking like it. So a while back, folks asked if we knew any books, like sci-fi and mainstream books, that featured gay and lesbian characters. Well, I stumbled across one. It's by Django Wexler, and it's spelled just like the movie, so it's got the D in front of it. It's like
the D is silent.
Yes. Yeah. It's called The Shadow Throne. It's the series. There's at least three of them out, and I think a couple short stories. First book is called A Thousand Names. Second one is The Shadow Throne. Third one is The Prince, The Price of Valor. And it features lesbians. Yes. Yay. Really well done. Not, like, pushing your face. It's just what they are, lesbians.
They.
It's nice. All right, I like Crystal. It. So far, it's been really good.
Yay.
It is fantasy. It's kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, they've got muskets and swords, so it's kind of like...
Do they shoot swords out of the muskets?
No, it's like... Yeah, I'm talking like bayonets.
So, okay.
So, yeah.
Civil War-ish, level of technology. He's got a little bit of magic, and there's a little bit of high fantasy hijinks going on, but it's mostly pretty good.
Looks like he's got quite a few things going on, and his stuff really well reviewed.
Yeah, I got a tag for it of, if you like this and this and this, give this guy a spin. Mm. And they listed a whole bunch of other authors, and I think it was actually like Patrick Rothfuss.
Looks like he has...
Might have recommended him.
Four or five books?
I picked it up, and it's really well written.
Oh, God. Cool. Lesbians.
So, oh, wow, this guy's got a lot of books, actually.
All I got going on is post-con inventory, royalty calculations, paying people, paying off printing bills. Yet. Well, I guess it would have hit by now.
Yeah, usually within 3 days you've got...
Fair enough. Yeah.
You dodged the bullet.
Yes, yep. I did.
All right, so it is now time for us to wrap this up because I have a burger to finish eating and... stuff to do, and you have to go home because you have...
And I need to sleep.
I have work tomorrow.
Sleep to do.
I have sleep to do, yeah.
I have some... I've got sleep to do. Very important, like, YouTube stuff I need
to get to. So, on that note...
Good night.
And big balls.